Welcome to the fifth episode of our podcast series here at Dentistry Online. Today, I'm going to be talking to Alok Y. Shukla, co-founder and CEO of Uplift, whose mission is to reduce costs and increase global access to oral health through technology. They develop teledentistry platforms such as Instant Dentist, which focus on dental wellness, and have customers in 61 countries. We're going to be discussing the ins and outs of teledentistry and why he sees it as a valuable addition to the more traditional forms of practice. So, you know, it's 2020, and pandemic aside, the word teledentistry is thrown around quite a lot. But a lot of the time, people don't actually know what it is or what it involves. I was just hoping you could tell us a little bit about what teledentistry means for you and your company.
Yes, of course. So absolutely, we're in 2020. We have self-driving cars. We have like so many different interesting technological advancements. And if we think about teledentistry, it's really a part of medicine. Dentistry is a specialization of medicine. And so if we think about telemedicine as a whole, what that is doing is helping doctors and dentists care for more patients. It's helping them amplify their existing ways to communicate with patients, to see them, to engage with them, to assess them in this way. In telemedicine as a whole, we've kind of got different disciplines. So for example, in dermatology, to kind of like screen for cancerous lesions, suspicious moles, it's very routine and very helpful to be able to track the progression of these things. You also have it within ophthalmology to assess eyes. And so you have screening happening in remote villages and different places where people can check for early signs and symptoms by mobile phone. And obviously the consequence of that is blindness, which is quite severe, isn't it, right? You know, and then in the same way, you've got like with during this pandemic, GPs have really embraced telemedicine for their doctor consultations to help screen and assess who might be suffering from COVID symptoms or other symptoms, but then can't physically access them. And through this, it's a way for them to communicate with other people. So teledentistry is nothing different to that. It's a way for the dentist to use digital technologies to engage with the patient. So if we think about it, there's kind of like two types of teledentistry as a kind of macro. We have like professional to professional and patient to professional. Okay, so if we talk about professional to professional, it could be dentist to dentist or dentist to hygienist or therapist or nurse. And this is where you basically have, I mean, Facebook forums are a good example of teledentistry. You've got many people commenting on cases and assessing it. It's no different. They're giving their opinion on different things. Now, obviously, in a professional structured way, you would do it through a secure platform, and then a specialist could consult with your patient on, say, a particular complication you've got or anything like this. In the same way, dental care professionals provide an amazing job. And if we think about trying to scale and expand dental access, school visits used to be something that was quite popular. So for example, having a, you know, therapist or a hygienist or a nurse be able to go to a school and be able to screen the children, for example, using a smart camera or an iPad, taking photos, that could then be that for the dentist to supervise it and see what's going on from there. And then we think about patient to dentist or dentist to patient, which is kind of what we're kind of also touching on, is this is the bigger opportunity. Because if we think about it, there's 7.8 billion people on the planet and around 2 million dentists. And obviously a clinic-centric model is quite expensive and doesn't scale, but the 2 million dentists can certainly care for lots of people and help people. Most dentists remark that the minute a patient comes in and opens their mouth, within 30 seconds, they already know what's going on, right? You know, and then it's a question of explaining and expanding from there. So that's how that part of teledentistry works. But then there's synchronous and asynchronous. These are the modes. So synchronous means live. So it's a bit like a kind of conversation we're having now, which could be a video call or it could be like an audio as well. And that would be where, say, for example, in a care home, a dentist could be live supervising a nurse or a hygienist screening patients and then could be directing on things to do there and then, for example. That's like live synchronous. Advantages of that is that you've got that live connection. Disadvantages is it's still appointment based and it still requires time. Okay. Asynchronous is where we're focused and where the bigger opportunity is, we feel. That's where patients or people would upload photos, video, text, images, documents, whatever you want, multimedia. And that can then be reviewed independently by a dentist or hygienist or whoever it is at their time, basically. So then that means that you've got the full time to kind of assess, understand what's going on, and then message back. So there's a little bit of a synopsis. That's a kind of like overview of teledentistry, basically.
Okay, and you know, these photographs, these that are being taken by the patients, is there any requirement, specific requirement of, you know, I know this might sound a bit ridiculous, but a kind, do they need a proper camera? Can they just do it with their phones? What is the requirement there?
Great question. So basically, with the advent of mobile phones, the camera resolution has been increasing all the time. You've got Hollywood films that are shot on iPhones entirely, for example, nowadays, okay? So you can kind of see, and also many Apple billboards show photos which have been shot on an iPhone. So the thing is, the blurring between a kind of SLR camera, DSLR, and obviously they're very, very powerful and brilliant, but like that, and also like a mobile phone camera and a smartphone, but in terms of diagnostic usefulness, you can pretty much identify those different elements from there. But what you need is a clear, focused, illuminated image. And again, there's guidance to how to do that, you know, through the platforms. But essentially from that, you're able to then understand what's going on, because most dental conditions are screened visually and volumetrically. So what that means is that there are changes which occur visually. So if someone's starting to get tooth decay, erosion, teeth start to go a bit yellow, there's translucency, we start to notice like if they've got like gum problems, there's a plaque accumulation, you notice the redness of the gums. It's all visual changes. When you see a patient in a practice, you're looking with your eyes, and then of course you're doing a risk assessment, and then at the same time doing tactile assessments. But the purpose of this is that with teledentistry, you could kind of start to do part of your screening, and then when you see the patient in practice, you can complete the rest of it. And at the same time, you could have had a communication about potential things that could be done at that appointment. I think these days with COVID, people are going to have longer appointments. So the ability to pre-screen and understand what needs to be done beforehand and communicate and discuss some options can really just help the patient understand what's kind of going on from there, basically.
Yeah, definitely. And how, I mean, this is quite a, like I mentioned earlier, it's sort of an up and coming part of dentistry. How did you get started in this? You know, what's your background? Why did you think, okay, this is something that I'd like to make work for the industry?
Yeah, sure. So I was studying medicine at university. I didn't want to be a doctor. And I saw, like, there was a place on the dental course next to me. And I thought, okay, that sounds like you could have more autonomy and have your own practice. And in medicine, you always have a medical model and a surgical model. Medical model is where you identify, you prevent, you try and prevent problems. And in surgical models, where you intervene and do procedures. And I thought, okay, dentistry is cool because you can do both of those things, right? You know, like, so graduated, worked in VT, mixed practice, and then went into private practice. I set up my own private practice in 2009 from scratch in London. I'm from Lancashire, so I'm not from London. So I just thought, you know, let's do that, you know. And a place I opened in was a very busy area, you know, affluent area in Putney. And I just thought, you know, there's lots of people that want treatment potentially. Because if we think about it, most dental conditions, like the majority of dental disease in this world is undiagnosed and untreated, right? It's just that patients don't know that they've got it. They've not communicated to a dentist about it. So I thought there's an opportunity to kind of like help more people. We started offering digital consultations back in 2011, 2012, basically. And so what patients could do is they could basically complete like a kind of initial screening survey and submit some photos. And I was quite shocked, I think, the first few days we did it, where like I saw the inbox suddenly flood with people just, it was early days of Facebook as well, right? And so we found that a lot of people were like requesting for information, for help, and we had, people could get information, they could book online, come to the clinic and all this kind of stuff. But I started noticing that from all over the UK, people were inquiring. And then we even had patients traveling down to us from Birmingham or Manchester. And I found that crazy because even Paris. And I found that crazy because, first of all, there's many brilliant dentists in those areas. And I even like tried to dissuade them because like it's too long to travel, right? Like for a regular basis. But they were like, no, we want to come and see you. And like, is it okay? And there's like, yeah, sure, fine, no problem. You know, like, so we noticed that there was a big need or desire for like kind of transparent communication. And that's what we always focused on. Like, so in the clinic, we had screens on the ceiling, and then we had like an intraoral camera so people could see what was going on. So it was always visual. I've always thought like, I'm not going to say something, I'll show it, right? So then people could understand what's going on. So that was how that was working. And then what we started doing was started helping other clinics implement this same system, and then it has started helping them. And around 2014, I started noticing the rise of Babylon Health and telemedicine. And, you know, it was just quite clear that like there was a bigger opportunity with this. And so 2015, we kind of put our clinic for sale, sold it in 2016, and we launched our first platform, Straight Teeth Direct, which was a fully monitored digital orthodontist-led platform. It was expanded to 61 countries. And then last year, we launched a second platform, Instant Dentist. And what that's focused on is it's a digital dental wellness platform focused on prevention and early assessments. Remember I said at the beginning, medical model prevention. Uh-huh. So with this, you're able to enable patients to access professional advice straight from their smartphone. And they also build a personalized digital record which tracks their oral health. And what this does is it helps patients understand what's going on and become a partner in their oral care, which is so important. I mean, We visit a dentist 2 to 4 days a year, for example, dentist and hygienist, but oral health is 365 days a year, right? You know, like, so this then helps them engage and prevent different issues through better home care regimes. And it also helps dentists because they can pre-screen, pre-schedule more productive appointments. And yeah, that's kind of a little bit of a synopsis of where we are.
Okay. And how, I mean, I think a lot of the time people are quite confused or don't quite understand how this fits in with sort of clinic-based dentistry. So how do the two complement each other? How do you make this work?
So if we think about a GP practice, let's just think about that, right? Primary care. So in a GP practice, you have four functions to a GP practice. There are four things the NHS is paying you for. Education. So for example, contraception, different things like this, you can do to prevent disease, like complete prevention through education, okay? Then you've got prevention, which is basically early diagnostics. So it's the ability to spot something at its earliest signs and then enable either some prescription or some behavior change or something to prevent it turning into a condition. Then you have treatment and then you have referral, okay? So education, prevention, treatment, referral. This is the same in dental practice, and all dentists really care for their patients, but the thing is the majority of time is spent on procedures, and that is correct. So that's the treatment part of it, but that's only one part of the picture. That's 25% of the picture, right? You know, like, so you've got then also referrals which are done, but then where's the education and prevention? And that's where visiting hygienists is important. But again, they need to spend the majority of that appointment on instrumentation. So what this means with teledentistry is we've created what we call a dental wellness model. If we think about it, let's think about a spectrum from left to right. On the left-hand side, let's think about perfect dental health. Teeth are in macular condition, gums in excellent condition. On the extreme right, we think about complete deterioration. The teeth and the gums are completely destroyed. So between the left and the right-hand side, we have what we call a reversible zone. So the reversible zone is where we have early signs and symptoms of tooth decay, gum disease, enamel damage, and you start to visually notice the changes. So you say a risk, it accelerates, and then it gets into biological symptoms. So it, like, for example, there's a white spot, becomes a brown spot, becomes a hole, it becomes painful, and then it goes into the management zone. Management zone is in the clinic where you do the treatments and everything like this, okay? Most patients schedule appointments when they're in the basically biological symptom stage, or this a little bit of destruction occurred. What teledentistry allows you to do is to open up that blind spot, and you can suddenly now engage with them through a wellness model where you can start to identify early signs, early symptoms, provide advice, provide reassurance without compromising on your in-clinic treatment time, but helping the patient create a better relationship where they feel cared for and you are feeling happy as well. And this is done in a professional paid way. This is not done through free video calls and things like this. This is done in a scalable professional way where the patient then has access to all their history, what's kind of gone on, and then the dentist at the same time can review everything. So for example, if a patient had an area on their tongue they were worried about, and we said, okay, take a photo of it, let's see it, gave some reassurance and said 2 weeks later, please send another photo, come in. You can then compare and see all that stuff. Normally when you see them in clinic, you have a complete blind spot of what happened before. So what this is doing is it's just helping you add on prevention and education to your clinic, basically, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I think actually that's something that people often forget about when you think of dentistry. A lot of the time there's a heavy focus on, in practice element. And a lot of the time, perhaps that might not actually be necessary for the patient. I mean, going off what you just said, do you think if patients, say I'm a patient and I've taken a photo of my tooth, I'm not a dentist, so I'm gonna say this in very sort of basic terms, but I've got a pain in my tooth and you see that there perhaps is, the start of perhaps a hole or something there. Do you know, is there a situation here where a patient might not have to come into the practice at all? You could have it all done from
great. So let's look at that example, okay? So let's just say, for example, someone is starting to get like quite bad pain, okay, like on their right-hand side. And what it could be is it's highly sensitive and it could be painfully sensitive. So someone could have had a situation where over time the teeth started to shift, they've got a thin type of gum. So we identify different risks, but if they've got a thin type of gum, it's called a thin biotype, it's exposed to the root of the tooth. The root is very full of nerves, basically, okay? So anything cold, sour, sweet, anything could just trigger it, basically, okay? So let's say you're starting to feel real pain and you've never felt anything before, you're getting scared, basically, okay? You can then, photograph the area, message and apply a video, and also at the same time, if you had previous records, you can upload them to the platform. dentists can review them, understand what's going on, and they could also then ask you questions to clarify, is it worse on hot drinks? Is it only cold things? Is it sweet things? They can essentially start conducting part of their history and screening digitally. So from that situation, let's say it was hypersensitivity. Well, in that situation, they could recommend a rapid relief type sensitive toothpaste, or like a prescribe a high fluoride mouthwash, or they could even prescribe fluoride trays or something like this to kind of protect that area. There's so many things that they could do to help you kind of remotely. In addition to that, if you did need to come to the clinic, what they've also done is they've established a history of understanding what's going on. And they could give you the information that if it starts to throb in the evening by itself, or if at nighttime it's waking you up, probably need to have another procedure where we wash and clean the inside of the tooth out. And then that's where you need to come into the practice. So you as a patient think, all right, I'm not going to stress because I don't know what's going on. I know what's going on. Let me try first of all with the thing I can do. But I do know if something needs to happen, I'm coming in basically, right? And you're not going to then shop around on price or this or that, because you've got that relationship, you understand, you know. So, and at the same time, also when you have the treatment, for example, and you're back at home, and then you're thinking, it's still hurting me, make a message. And then they can reassure you and say, you know, how is it? Is it like this? When you bite, is it tender? You know, don't worry about it. Take something like this and we'll check on you in another 3 days. You don't have to traipse all the way to the clinic just to kind of see that, isn't it? You know, so you feel more cared for as a patient, and as a dentist, you're way more effective, because when you're coming to the clinic, you've already helped pre-gain part of the consent. Obviously, you do everything you need to do in a clinic, but it's just it just helps augment what you're doing, basically.
Yeah, no, of course. And what, I mean, how does it work exactly? Is this... is it like an email type format, or is it sort of, you know, is there a certain time where it's sort of like instant messaging?
Great question. So our platform called Instant Dentist is basically done through a phone. So the patient would, for example, let's say they were on a dental practice that was on our network, then they would have a page which said digital assessment, start your assessment, click here. They start doing a consultation, submit, choosing whether it's a specific concern assessment or a health screening. They answer questions, upload photos and a video, which is all guided. And then from that, then they pay their 20 quid, and then that's then uploaded into the backend system, and they get a message saying that within 24 hours or 48 hours, you'll get a reply from the dentist, basically, right? And they've got access to their secure portal, so they can see records they've uploaded, previous x-rays or photos. They can see all their photos and video. They can see previous reports and dentist and messaging. So what the dentist can do then is they receive everything, and they can send a message saying, thank you, Ms. Jones, or whoever it is, for all the information. Please, can you clarify these 3 points? One, you know, this, you mentioned it's hurting you. Is it hurting spontaneously or whatever like this? And the second thing is like, please, could I get a closer view of this area here? If you're struggling with a photo, just send me a video, basically, right? And then that is, so it's an asynchronous messaging, essentially. So it means that the patient can reply at their convenience in a detailed way. And it also means that you can then, as a dentist, professionally write down what you want to ask in a structured way. And it's all locked and documented, so everyone can see everything that there is. It's not like you have to do a video call then type everything up afterwards. It's all in a really kind of clear way. The patient would then get, the dentist would then prepare a report, and it would be a synopsis report. And it shows like visual elements of like issues, it annotates different areas. And then the patient can then review it and see it in their portal. They can message and ask any question and go from there, really. So the whole point of it is to pre-screen. It's not intended to replace a physical examination. It's not about that. It's about simply helping connect, so that when you do schedule a physical appointment, you could do complete the remainder of your examination, you know, your special tests, your x-rays, your tactile inspection. But then what you could also then do is potentially do a procedure which you gained partial consent for beforehand. So it's just in that way that works.
And what are the benefits? I mean, obviously you've just gone through some there, but in terms of sort of patient benefits and, you know, clinician, dentist, you know, there needs to be benefits for both sides, obviously. It needs to work.
Yeah, but the patient, the main benefits is that it's convenient, transparent and impartial. So there's many people that, for example, have mobility problems. I used to do special care dentistry and like did some local work, and I always felt so sad for some people that had to wait all day for their ambulance to bring them for an appointment. And I'd see them for 30 minutes, then I'd see them waiting for the ambulance to take them home, you know, just for the sake of a 30-minute dental appointment, you know. And so, you know, it helps people access, you know, things that they couldn't if they're traveling abroad, different places. It's also impartial, because the digital dentist generally that would review them, there is the model where the practices see them, but there's also impartial ones which would then just tell you what's going on, basically, right? You know, so then you could actually understand that, okay, this tooth here has a filling which is greater than a third of the width. It's a bit of risk for fracture in the future. Keep an eye on it. You know, be careful on hard, crunchy foods there. It's data driven. So one of the things that we're looking at is like how to make things really transparent so that whatever conditions are going on, the patient fully understands and knows about it. So they can choose what they want to kind of treat with the dentist. The dentist doesn't have to worry about presenting big complex things to the patient because the patient already knows what's going on, right? So it enables kind of more transparent communication. Patient can access their records anytime, anywhere, save time. They need less appointments, but they can get more health because with the less appointments, more procedures could be done in those appointments. They could prevent more problems and save money. For dentists, what that happens, so practice that subscribe, they've got a whole new toolkit. They've basically got an instant virtual practice to do digital health screenings, reviews, pre-schedule appointments, offer reassurance, provide home care, digital reactivation. So we've got practices that have got patients have not visited 18 months or more, and they're digitally reactivating them. They're offering them a digital assessment to kind of come back into the clinic, basically. And it's a nice way to kind of engage them. And then they can have, you know, schedule for an appointment. Digital referrals, so patients that really love their practice, they can introduce their friend digitally now because they can share a link with their friend and their friend could do a digital checkup and they register with your practice digitally, isn't it? So that helps amplify your audience. Digital dental plans is quite an exciting opportunity. That's where we've been working with local employers and helping dentists work with the local employers to then engage local employees, you know, in affordable digital screenings and in clinic treatment. And we're also in discussion with some pharmacies about offering in there's a lot of people basically like that have dental problems that go to a pharmacy. Mm. And there's a model where the pharmacy can offer digital assessments and then it means they can connect to a dentist. And then that's an exciting way to kind of like help the dentist access and help more patients. It also helps the pharmacy who are so keen and important in times like COVID to play a greater role in helping the health. So there's so many benefits. It's basically a function of like, whatever you do in a practice, if you're a great dentist and you help your patients, this just helps amplify that. That's all it is basically.
Yeah. I think there's going to be some people, I mean, there's a lot of people out there I think are quite critical of teledentistry, you know, for several reasons that I won't go through, but there is a sort of a stigma sort of attached to it, I think, that it's sort of taking away that traditional element of dentistry and it won't actually get to, I mean, pardon the pun, but the root of the problem. What would you say to that as somebody who's sort of been working in the area for a few years?
So I think it's very, very important to actually to state, first of all, what we're talking about. We're talking about dentist-led, dentist-supervised professional services. There are situations which are not like that, but I'm focusing on that, okay? So if we think about that, then it's normal to be unsure about new technologies, okay? That's normal. I'm sure there were people who were used to the radio that were apprehensive about the introduction of the television, right? Like it's normal and routine, for example, to give advice by phone. This is normal, you know, call 111, call the dentist. They will triage by phone and ask you questions, understand what's going on. It's noble and it's caring to help the patient in this way, but you are literally blind. You cannot see, you understand, you know? So this is simply an enhanced multimedia version of that same situation. You're still the same caring dentist, but instead of using a phone, using a multimedia, you know, platform to engage with the patient. So that's all it is. And in COVID, we're going to need to minimize appointments so that we can actually deliver more care per appointment and triage effectively. So being able to see, being able to capture previous dental records, being able to capture previous 3D models, x-rays, all that stuff. And it's stored centrally in the platform, which the patient can access at any time. And as a dentist, you can see that too. This is simply technology to amplify and augment dentists and help them apply their skills and help more patients than they ever could before, basically. But as I say, it's not for, you know, the practices that want to do it, they will expand and grow. And the people that want to continue the same way, great for them. You know, they've got their loyal patients that love it. But one thing I found so interesting is that there's been increased adoption amongst older patients, actually. You know, like 60 plus, we found is like them, they really like it. And it's a really nice way for them to engage with their practice.
I was actually going to ask you about that. My next question was going to be, have you seen it sort of, has a certain age group taken to it more than others? Because obviously, you might think that, you know, the older generation might sort of steer clear of it a little bit, but I mean, you're saying that they've taken to it quite well.
Yes, like so the thing is, what's so nice is like they are so polite and they also used to like writing properly and you know, they send photos and everything and they're very diligent and they follow advice, you know. And so there's been several that we've seen that like they're linked with like a clinic, and we were able to see that, like, for example, they're able to get reassurance, and then they, you know, they've broken a tooth and they're quite apprehensive about what's going on, or you know, they wanted to kind of get at their screening because they were supposed to have their hygiene appointment, but they couldn't do it, but they still feel engaged and able to do that. They find it great, because it also means that they think about it, right? Going to Tesco's these days potentially presents an infection risk. Okay, so obviously, like, returning anywhere is important. So if you're in a more vulnerable category, you need to be really thinking about it. And if your dentist cares enough to engage with you in these ways, they love it, right? You know, also the other groups that we found that, like, love it is people that travel, work with busy people that travel a lot, or with mums. And it's quite common where mums take their three kids to the dentist and they don't even open their mouth, right? And mums are profusely apologetic, isn't it? You know, through technologies like this, you can pre-screen, monitor, understand, you know, do they need to come in for their full ortho examination now, or leave it for a bit? Or, you know, there's so many ways you can use it, basically, in this way.
So you're saying, you know, with children as well, that's something that could be. So it doesn't exclude anybody. This is a sort of whoever.
It's an inclusive technology, right? So the whole point of it is that, like, and to be super clear, it would be the parent, right, that would choose to engage their child, right? Like, so just, but I'm just saying that, right? But essentially, it's an inclusive technology, right? So whether you've got, you know, mobility issues, whether you're nervous, like, so another thing, there's so many phobics, they feel like shamed. They feel ashamed. You know, we've had some very, very experienced dentists that treat phobic patients, and they said that many patients feel ashamed and they feel judged. The platform doesn't judge, right? You're just sending your photos, answering your things. You can be at home dressed however you want to be. You can be scared of going out of the house, but you can still access professional advice and care. Then you can, you know, buy whatever professional toothbrush you can do, and irrigator regimes at home, things that you can do at home, so that when you do come to the dentist, you don't just get a lecture on that, right? You can actually get some treatment done, and, you know, you can feel included in your care, basically. So the whole point of this is to eliminate barriers. I think 70% of people are scared of the dentist. And in the UK, 7,500 people a week go to their GP, not their dentist, for dental problems, right? There was a University of Wales study about that. So if you think about the barriers of being like pain, cost, fear, you know, this can just help essentially provide that friendly interface to dental care.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So how does instant dentist work for patients and practices exactly?
For patients, what they're able to do is they can then choose a digital dental consultation from their phone. There's two types of consult they could do. One is a digital dental health screening, and that is like assessing and screening their health over 22 risk factors. The other part is a specific concern consultation. This is where they might want to be. They've got a particular problem, like a wisdom tooth or a chipped tooth or a sensitive area, or they want to know their options for improving their smile and they just want to discuss that. Or, you know, they've got a loose denture and they want to know what their options are. It could be that they've had a plan suggested from a dentist and they're not sure if they should kind of, like, you know, what questions they've got. There's all sorts of ways you could use that. And what they would then do is they would then follow the instructions, answer questions, upload their photos and video. And then what that would then happen is then they've got their account now. And then within that, all their information is there, so it can be like monitored over time. The dentist then reviewing them is able to then clarify any questions, see what's kind of wants to be done, ask anything they want to, any supplemental information. The patient can upload different x-rays and things if they wanted to. And then what they do is they get a report, which is then, for example, for the health one, it's a report which goes through their health in like biology, structure, function, position, shape and color, all the different risk areas. And then if it's for the specific concern, it kind of focuses on that particular problem. And then the whole point of it, what it does, it tells them home care tips they can do, things that they should do to prevent things, and also in clinic what might need to be done and what needs verifying. So this then means that the patient is then completely empowered with information, and they're able to then, you know, email the report to their practice and then say what they want to do. And then the practices love it because they're like, wow, I've got a patient who already wants to go. They know what they need to be done and they really care about their health. For practices, what it can be done is that if they subscribe to the platform, they're suddenly able to then offer this to all their patients. So, for example, if you've got plan membership patients, for example, they can't come in at the moment, right? You know, they're paying for their subscription. You could suddenly offer, you know, digital screenings, offer assessments in a professional, scalable way, because you're not just doing lots of video calls. You know, video calls are great, but you have to prioritize your chair time. And at the same time, if you have lots of video calls, you have to type all that up, right? Because otherwise you're medically legally exposing yourself in that way. So with this way, they're able to kind of like communicate with more people. And at the same time, they can, as I say, do digital reactivations. They can also, you know, pre-screen ahead of hygiene appointments. So people can do a digital screening ahead of their hygiene appointment to identify if there's other things that need to be done. So some patients, if they had a hygiene appointment and the hygienist noticed there were two fillings that need to be done with the dentist, some patients would be fine about doing it at that appointment, but many would not. Many would feel like, no, I didn't know about this. I want to come back, you know, Whereas this way, you could screen those areas and say, actually, it looks like there's a couple of things that need to be done, and you probably need a periodontal treatment as opposed to a hygiene treatment. Would you like to stick with the hygiene appointment? Would you like to take care of all this at the same appointment? Many people be like, you know, I'm coming anyway. I like seeing you, but I, you know, want to minimize the time. Right?
Kill two birds with one stone type
thing. So in that way, it's like, it's great for you because as a practice, you're much more productive and you increase the rate of the health of the patient. And for the patient, they're like, wow, you know, it's much more efficient, you know, like than having to have all this stuff and have an awkward conversation that I only bought 50 quid with me and this is 150 quid. And, you know, like it's all this kind of stuff. We can create different issues. So for the practice, I'd say there's lots of opportunities to, you know, engage with reactivations, referrals and digital dental plans for their patients as well.
I mean, we've covered this a little bit before, but let's just sort of, I'm going to ask it a little bit more explicitly this time. Obviously, you believe in this. This is something you think can really make a difference to practices and the way dentistry is carried out throughout the UK, I'm assuming, internationally as well, just dentistry as a whole. Do you think this is the future? And I mean, obviously, given the situation, the circumstances at the moment, it that might sort of, you know, that has an impact. But I think, you know, obviously, this is something that you had put sort of a lot of time and effort into prior to the pandemic. So I think that kind of isn't really necessarily completely relevant. You know, do you think this is something that is going to sort of take off?
Great question. So we've been in this area for like 5 years, right? Like, and so if we think about the next 5 years, the majority of dental conditions and dental disease in this world, the vast majority is undiagnosed and untreated. Let's think about that. Periodontal disease is one of the biggest affecting diseases in the world. Tooth decay is affecting, you know, billions of people globally. Same with periodontal disease, gum disease, okay? We have 2 million dentists in the world and 7.8 billion humans. You know, clinics can't scale to help everybody, you know, when you're talking about geographic remote areas, you're talking about people that can't access care, you're talking about complications like pandemics. I hadn't even in my, you know, worst, you know, predictions could have ever understood something like this catastrophic could happen where, you know, so many amazing people are like at risk or different things. It's truly scary, you know, but, you know, if you think about the next 5 years, 5 years from now, the majority of doctors and dentists will practice a portion digitally. You know, doctors are already practicing a portion of their work digitally, sometimes as much as 70% of their work. Okay. And so in the next 5 years, dentists will be practicing physically and they'll spend a portion of their time practicing digitally. So that's just going to happen. Okay. And if we think about it, most prevention that happens is due to toothpaste and fluoride intervention and like mouthwashes. So all the toothpaste companies, pretty much 5 years from now, they will have AI-driven screening and dental networks and dental services. And, you know, your toothbrush will be detecting microbiome changes at home and helping you understand, you know, what your risk factors are. One thing is that, like, the mouth has so many signs and symptoms of overall health wellness. I'm not talking about dental, I'm talking about health, okay? You can start to understand, you know, iron issues. You can start to understand early evidence of diabetes or different issues and things like this, like serious conditions. So I think teledentistry is going to allow you to reintegrate the dentistry into medicine and health as a whole. And you can then screen and understand what's going on from there. 5 years from now, most corporate dental chains will have an online dental component and network, and the practices that embrace this kind of model will be able to help way more patients than you know, they could physically access. They'll have two lists almost. They'll have a list of physical patients that attend and a list of digital patients that attend once every year or once every 2 years, something like this. I mean, basically, it's a very exciting time for dentists that want to help patients to gain access to the very best of modern dental care, you know. Digitization is just happening in all industries, and healthcare is no different, basically.
I mean, I've always thought things like social media, you know, that's really hit the ground running. And, you know, nowadays, if you aren't on social media, perhaps not as an individual, maybe, but, you know, as a business, people really think you're missing a trick. And it's something that is a key component of businesses, not just within dentistry, but just in general. So I guess in a way, that could be, you know, that's kind of what you're suggesting here, is whether not, you know, I mean this in a nice way, but perhaps people who are skeptical or people who are a little bit reluctant to get involved, unfortunately or fortunately, it is where things are heading. You know, technology is constantly evolving.
If you don't have a phone in the practice, for example, no one can ring you, isn't it, right? So then they'll ring somewhere else. So in the same way, if you don't have like this kind of facility in place, then patients will just simply find a place, you know, that does, you know, that's, they can say, you know, there are practices that don't have a phone, I'm sure, like, you know, like, but it's just, you know, like, but it, so it's not like it's a requirement, you know, like, but I mean, but at the same time.
No. That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I was suggesting there with the social media element of it. It's something that enhances business, and I think that's difficult to deny now. So in a simple way, I was wondering if you think that's sort of the same direction that you think teledentistry is in.
And then you've got two people, you've got a dentist and you've got a patient, right?
Yeah.
And the patient is either in front of the dentist, or the patient's at home and she's listening to the, or he's listening to the dentist on the phone, or the dentist wrote a letter to them and sent it by mail, or the dentist sent an email to them by email, or they interact with them through a platform. It's the same thing, right? You know, it's just a different medium, basically.
No, that's interesting. Okay, so yeah, teledentistry aside, and dentistry as a whole aside for the final question, what do you like to do outside of dentistry? Is there something that you're particularly passionate about, an interest you have that isn't actually, yeah, anything to do with what you do day-to-day, job-wise?
Yeah, sure. So I don't practice as a dentist. I stopped years ago, basically. So like, but what I enjoy is I live in Lisbon in Portugal. It's beautiful here. Love to go to Cascais. It's just like a little place, you know, just by the ocean. It's about 30 minutes away. And there's a place called Guincho, which is like amazing as well. It's nice to kind of just get out and see like wonderful nature and amazing food, and like there's places you can rent buggies and kind of like to go kind of like, you know, some off-road stuff. It's like, it's just a very pleasant way to kind of just enjoy time. So we really enjoy doing that on the kind of weekends and enjoying like what Lisbon has to offer. But yeah, like I say, I work a lot with computers, so I like to, like, in my spare time, just not be in front of a computer or any form of
take a break from it. I mean, there's no better place to do that, I can imagine, than the coast of Portugal.
No, it's very lucky. Yeah, so even if you can find indoors, you can still see the sunshine outside, so it's not too
nice. I always find Portugal as well, I've been in the winter and the summer, it has a very solid all-round weather, as in, you know, in some places in Europe you can get extremely hot in the summer, but then in the winter it can be a bit sort of, you know, not much better than England. But I find Portugal's quite reliable, you know, even in the December, January, February, you can get some good sun, some nice warm weather, I feel.
So. No, it's funny because like when it's like I think it was like 29 or 30 or whatever on the weekend, but like if you go to like when it's like 16 or something, you feel cold or something like this, like it is quite
you say 16's cold.
I'm back in the UK, I'm like, okay, you know, then I come back, I'm back
16 if it's 16 I've got my jumper off, I'm sitting in the garden in my t-shirt.
But like, yeah, so like when I come back in, I'm landing, like, oh, actually, it's really hot, you know, like, so yeah, you adapt to wherever you are, basically. But like, the beauty is like here, there's just infinite nature to kind of just enjoy. So yeah,
but yeah, thank you very much for joining me today. That's been really interesting to find out sort of the ins and outs of teledentistry. But yeah, I hope you, I mean, I don't know what it's like there over in Portugal, but I hope, you know, hopefully we're coming out of this now, fingers crossed. So I hope everything goes smoothly over there for you.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share. Thank you so much. Okay.